Well, friends, we can close the book on another Christmas, right? I mean, it's all over. It's December 29th. It's 4 days past Christmas. All the packages have been opened. The gifts are starting to be returned already. Most of the radio stations have gone back to their regular broadcasting. If they haven't done so already, they will by tomorrow. The Christmas decorations are being sold in stores probably at half price already, and by next week, probably 75% off. Decorations are starting to come down, and the UPS guys are kicked back and their lazy boys with their feet up. It's all over, right? Now our lives slow back down a bit. The parties are ending. The shopping's all done, and we can start playing for what some people put on plastic. Some might even be out there taking advantage of the sales, starting to shop for next year already. It's all done. Okay, friends, it's time for somebody to say, no way, Jose. No way. It's not all done. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know that the birth of Jesus is new every day in our hearts. Every day. We don't have a day or a season to enjoy to the world. We enjoy the joy of Jesus all year round, every day. We don't need a day to pay homage, a day to celebrate or to say it. We celebrate Jesus every day in our living. If we as believers already live in the joy of Jesus coming into this world and into our lives every day, doesn't that leave us with kind of a burning question? Why do we make such a big production, such a big deal every December the 25th for something that we believe, that we know, that we live in every day of our lives, if you know Jesus? That leaves us with the question, why Christmas? If Jesus is every day and we don't really know for sure the exact day, the exact month that he really was born anyway, why does everything come to a screeching halt every December the 25th? What's the purpose in remembering the events of Christ's birth and commemorating it on a day? That's what we're going to look at today. The fact is that the birth of Jesus is the most significant event in the history of humankind. It split history into BC and AD, so every time that you make an event on your calendar or in your smartphone, you're commemorating the birth of Jesus Christ. Our calendar and our time are set by his birth and his death. We're going to spend a little bit of time today talking about the purpose of Christmas. Let's pray, and then we'll do that. God, I thank you for what's already been a beautiful morning in worship. Your spirit is here, it's breathing and active, and you're ready to teach us today. And God, I just pray for open hearts that we will just hone in on the reason of it all, the purpose that we even talk about Christmas. Lord, teach us. Make us open to what you want to share. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen, that's right. Pastor Rick Warren wrote a book several years ago called The Purpose of Christmas that deals with the very questions that I've been asking. And I've not read his book in its entirety, but I did read a sermon that he wrote where he focused on that same question and purpose. Warren takes the Christmas story passage from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14 to find the answer. And we're going to use kind of the same outline and framework this morning as we answer our question about why Christmas. I'll tell you just so you know that today's message is a little shorter than normal. Now, I said a little shorter, so don't get too carried away, but a little bit shorter, but that's okay because I feel like I'm saying all that I need to say today, and if you want, you can call it my Christmas gift to you, okay? When Jesus was born, there was a group of shepherds out in the fields tending flocks, and an angel came to them with three basic announcements that tell us why we remember the event of Christmas. First, we remember it because, friends, Christmas is a celebration. It's a celebration. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 say, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" The angel says he's bringing good news that will cause great joy. Friends, it's a celebration. It's a birthday party. We probably should have had a big cake out here, a birthday cake out here today, or at least cupcakes on carts in the aisles that we could grab. But looking around, I think we probably all got enough Christmas spirit this year. We probably don't need that. But are you willing to be a little bit cheesy with me this morning? just a little bit silly and cheesy. Will you do that? Nobody's saying yes. Don't make me a solo act. Be cheesy with me just for a moment. And can we just sing happy birthday to Jesus? I know it's what they do in the kids' room and that kind of stuff, but let's just be kids for a moment. And let's sing happy birthday. Are you ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. If I thought ahead, I would have got one of those drums from Casa Fiesta and banged on it and put the sombrero on my head as we sang. But at Christmas time, we have more parties than any other time of the year. Yet, here's the ironic thing, friends. Often the guest of honor is totally left out of the party. The birthday party's for Jesus. He's the whole reason we say Merry Christmas. It's Christ's Mass. Do you know that God likes a good party? He likes a good party. He. In fact, it tells us in the Bible that when any one single person comes to accept Jesus into their life, that the angels celebrate in heaven. That there's a party going on when one person comes home to Jesus. Why do we celebrate his birth? First, we celebrate it because he loves us. He loves us. Jesus was born because God loves us, and that's worth celebrating. John 3:16, one of the best known verses in the Bible and at football games, says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus' birth was a message of God's love. When we let that sink in, we realize what an awesome thing it is. God loves us so much that he went to the drastic measures, all drastic measures, to assure that he would see us in eternity. Our sin has separated us from the fullness of God's love and would eternally separate us from him, but God wouldn't have that. He sent his one son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us from our sin. Secondly, Jesus Christ's birthday is a celebration because it announces God with us. God with us. You may not feel it, but you know what? It's got nothing to do with your feelings. He's with you all the time. The Bible says that Jesus' name is to be called Emmanuel. This is one of his names, and Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Before Jesus left the earth, he assured us that he'd still be God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, when he said, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am God with you. In the Old Testament times, God's Spirit came and went as God determined. His Spirit was like smoke, came as smoke on the day and fire on the night to lead the Israelites through the wilderness. His Spirit came as a strength to Samson. His Spirit came as into a burning bush for Moses. But now in Jesus, God is Emmanuel, God with us. God's Spirit's continually remaining on this earth in the heart of every believer, every disciple of Jesus. His Spirit is always with us, and this is something to celebrate. God's not going to leave you. You may sometimes question it. You may sometimes not feel he's with you, but again, it's got nothing to do with your feelings. He's with you now. He'll be with you in 2020. He's going to be with you through it all. Now, if you've not invited Jesus into your heart, then you've not made connection to his presence with you, and that leads you to real loneliness. God made you to know him. He didn't make you for loneliness. As a matter of fact, he's gone to every measure so that you don't have to ever be alone by being Emmanuel, God with you. And he'll be with you simply through asking him to forgive your sins and inviting him into your heart. Third, the birth is a celebration because God is for us. He's for us. Jesus says in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You know, some people don't come to God because they're fearful of him. Why are they fearful? Because they look at God as a condemning God. They look at their own lives and their mistakes they've made and the places they've been and the ways they've blown it, and they say, I can't approach God. Well, you know, if we're going to play that game, then which one of us could approach God? None of us could. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, if I go into the church, the roof is going to come down? What are they saying? They're saying God's a condemning God. And if I go into that church, if I come into his presence, you know what? I'm going to get it. I'm going to be laden so much with guilt and remorse, and I don't want that, so I'm just going to stay away from God, and I'm just going to stay away from his people, and I'm just going to stay away from church. But friends, Jesus' message is, I'm not against you. I'm for you. I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. The first purpose for Christmas, why Christmas, is to celebrate his birth. Here's the second purpose for Christmas. Christmas is salvation. Salvation. That's the second thing the angels said to the shepherds in Luke 2:11. It says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Do you hear that personal part, that personal Savior? To you. He's come for the world, but he's also come to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now hear me. God never wastes his energy. He doesn't do things that aren't needed. So if you didn't need a Savior, he wouldn't have gone to the effort and the trouble to send one. Certainly he wouldn't have sent his only son to go die on a cross. He also wouldn't have angels make such a proclamation if it weren't true. Does that make sense? Most assuredly, you and I need a Savior. But what does it mean that we need salvation? Well, there's a three-dimensional answer to that question. First, you're saved from your sin. So you're saved from something. You're saved from your sin, from guilt, from your past, from yourself, from worry and bitterness and loneliness and all of those things. We're saved from something. That's what Jesus' name means. Jesus means to save people from their sin. Joseph was told in a dream in Matthew 1:21 these words, she will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. That's what Jesus means. But what is sin? Most of us would answer that by describing actions, by being an axe murderer, or lying, or cheating, or stealing, or adultery. Those things, those are sins. Listen, those are symptoms of sin. But sin's not an action. Sin is actually an attitude. What's the middle letter of the word sin? What's the middle letter? I, right? What's the middle letter of the word pride? I. Sin is an I problem. It's I want to be my own boss. I want to control my own life. I want to control my own destiny. I don't need God. That's sin, going my way instead of going God's way. The Bible makes it clear that we're all born with that attitude. We've all got it. And that attitude is what separates us from God. God sent Jesus to solve this problem for us and to end this separation. Through Jesus, you're saved from your sin. The second thing is you're saved for something. There's a purpose. There's a plan for your life. And doesn't that just jazz you up a bit? God says, I want to save you for a purpose. We're starting a new message journey next week. Matt's going to kick it off for us that we're calling Enjoy Your Purpose. Your purpose. You have a purpose. And incidentally, I didn't heard the final numbers, but between both worship experiences, Christmas Eve, 300 people here. Are they here today? No. So if you had friends and guests or relatives who were here that night who need to connect to God in a church, this will be a great series to invite them to. Enjoy your purpose. It starts next week. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:9 and 10, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. Listen, friends, we can live life with the perspective of simply surviving, which most of the world does, where we're just looking for finally reaching success, but at what point is success finally achieved? Or we can live life for significance. significance. You were made for significance. I was made for significance. And simply put, significance, real significance, only comes from knowing God, knowing his purpose for your life, and then doing it. Hear me. Your life has purpose. Your life has great purpose. You're significant. You matter, and you matter to God. You matter enough that he sent his son because you have been saved for something. Again, we're starting a new message series next week talking about that. Enjoy your purpose. So we're saved from our sin, and we're saved for something. Then there's a third part of this. You're saved by grace through faith. By grace through faith, which means this. You don't have to earn it. As a matter of fact, you can't earn it. And you don't deserve it, and neither do I. You just have to believe it and to accept it. Friends, going to heaven, your salvation isn't about your goodness. You and I can't be good enough. It's about his goodness. It's all about his goodness. We're not, and we can't be perfect, but Jesus was and is perfect. He's the only ticket to heaven. There are no other passes that are going to allow you to pass go. There's no other get out of jail free cards. It's by his grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is when you don't get what you do deserve. We do deserve hell, but instead we get heaven. That is grace. I've seen the acronym for grace, for the letters G-R-A-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. So it's not free, it's only free to you and me. It costs God absolutely everything. Everything. The Bible says it clearly in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I love the last part of that verse. So that no one can boast. None of us can boast about it. Listen, Jesus did it all. He alone paid, made happen for you and me that we cannot do. We have nothing to possibly brag about on our own. Because without Jesus and what he did, you and I would get what we really do deserve, which is hell. When Jesus came to earth, he came as a baby, but he didn't stay a baby. He grew up to become a man who died for your sins and mine, and we celebrate because he's our Savior, right? Because he's our Savior. Finally, the third purpose of Christmas, the third why Christmas is Christmas's reconciliation. Now that's kind of a big word, reconciliation. Luke 2, 13 through 14 says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Let there be peace on earth. You've heard that, right? Friends, that's reconciliation. What's reconciliation? It's when broken relationships are restored. Jesus came to restore relationships. First, he came that we could restore the most important relationship that we have, our relationship with God. But also, he came that we could have peace and have restored relationship with others. When a husband and a wife come back together, that's called reconciliation, right? When a parent and child reconciled, it brings peace. When siblings or friends come back together, it's reconciliation that leads to peace. Where do you need reconciliation in your life this Christmas? Because Christmas is all about reconciliation. You've heard the Christmas line before, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Have you ever thought of the meaning of that? Let that really sink in. It's reconciliation. Christmas brings peace, and we need to claim it in our relationships. You know, there's been talk of peace for centuries. How many peace talks have presidents attended and participated in that ultimately fail? How many peace marches have there been? How many nations and people have yearned for peace, yet it's been stolen by war or mistrust or factions or division or slander or cruelty, you name it. See, here's the thing. There will never be peace in the world until there's peace in nations. And there will never be peace in nations until there's peace in communities. And there's never going to be peace in communities until there's peace in families. And there's never going to be peace in families until there's peace in individuals. And there's never going to be peace in individuals until we invite the Prince of Peace to reign in our hearts. And friends, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. The Bible talks about three kinds of peace that God offers us at Christmas time. First, we need peace with God. And if you don't have that, you know you need it. We need peace with God. The fact is that if you're trying to live your life without God, then you're at war. If you're trying to run your own life, your own way, and you're not paying attention to God's way, then you're at war with God and you need a peace treaty. You need reconciliation because your relationship with God is broken. Jesus came to be the bridge over your troubled waters, to lead you to God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified, justified means made right. It means reconciled. Since we've been justified through faith, faith is believing it, accepting it, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That might be the peace that some of you are looking for this Christmas. The angels told the shepherds that this peace arrived in Jesus. You can have it by accepting Jesus into your heart and into your life. Once you make peace with God, then something wonderful begins to happen. A second thing, you get the peace of God in your heart. When you have peace with God, you have the peace of God in your heart. This is the peace that we need for our daily lives. When the stress comes, when the heartache happens, when you're angry, when you're confused, the peace of God in your heart overcomes. There's no way to explain that unless you've experienced it. And so many of us in this room can attest to that. Now, am I saying that that means you'll always be happy and life's always going to be grand? No. You will still really have some very unhappy times. You're still going to have some times that really, really stink. But the incredible thing about it is this. You can be unhappy with a situation. You can have times that are really, really difficult that aren't so great, but still have this peace of God in your heart. That's the peace he wants to bring to us, a peace of God in your heart underneath all the awful that's going on around you. How's that, you say? Well, it's the difference of the difference of your difficult time leaving you in a panic and hopelessness and your difficult times still being not enjoyable at all, but underneath leaving you with a sustaining calm and hope. That's the peace available to everyone who's made peace with God through Jesus. The third, once you make peace with God and you get the peace of God in your heart, now you can start to be at peace with other people. With other people, it's back to that whole reconciliation thing. God's called us to be peacemakers, to be reconcilers. If you're in Christ and Christ in you, then peace should chart the course of your relationships. If you have factions, discord, division with another or others, understand that with the peace of God in you, you can and are expected to do all you can on your part to be a peacemaker. Friends, that's why Christmas. It's one of the purposes of Christmas. And Christmas is often a time of year that people become much more open to reconciliation. So friends, we've talked about three biblical reasons for why Christmas. Now let me tell you why Christmas for my own life. For me personally. For me, it's because of the things we've been talking about this whole month when we've talked about enjoy to the world. It's because of the things we've talked about this morning when we talk about today and enjoying the joy of his birth in our life today. But I've made it clear to you on many occasions that I've always really enjoyed Christmas, right? I mean, I let you know that every year. And since I've ever have a memory of Christmas, I've always greatly enjoyed it. Yet, Christmas all changed for me when I was 18 years old. Now, most of you have heard at least part of my story before, but I grew up going to church my whole life. It's just what we did. It's what we did. We didn't even have any other option. You just went to church on Sunday. When it was Sunday, that's where you were. I heard a lot about God. I learned things about God. I had a conception of God and who maybe he is, but I didn't know God. And I certainly didn't know what God had to do with me. Growing up, if you were to ask me if I thought I would go to heaven when I died someday, I would likely tell you, yeah, I think I probably would. If you were to ask me why I think I would go to heaven, I'd likely say, because I've been a pretty good person. And you know what? I would have been absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. I mean, I was always a pretty squeaky clean kid, but I couldn't have possibly been good enough to stand before a perfect and good God on my judgment at death and say, God, will you let me in? I wasn't good enough. Listen, I could list for you the sin that was in my life that would exclude me from God's perfection. I could make a list for you like that today, do the same thing, because I fall short of the glory of God every day. Now, I'm not going to make you that list, at least not out loud, but I could. However, at the age of 18, the summer after I graduated from high school, a youth pastor friend sat down with me and explained some of the things we're talking about today. He didn't specifically talk about Christmas, it was summertime, but he shared the gospel message of Jesus. He explained the why part for me, the why Christmas, even though we didn't talk about Christmas, the why Jesus to me. And friends, on that day, I got it. I understood, and I finally realized that there was more to being a Christian than going to church, and that God offered me more, God was offering me a relationship through Jesus. And when I finally understood it, I jumped on it. And right there and then, I asked God to forgive me of my sins, all my shortcomings and failures, and I invited Jesus into my life as my Savior and Lord, and my life has never been the same. It has never been the same. With that decision came celebration, came reconciliation, a peace like I'd never known before. And that's why when Christmas rolled around my 18th year, it changed. Friends, now Christmas was more than about traditions and songs and decorations and family and gifts and the other. Christmas was about Jesus. And it became about the real purpose in my life, and I have had, and that I have because of him. I enjoy to the world because I have the joy to the world living in my heart and in my life forever. Why Christmas? Because we need to celebrate Jesus. Happy birthday, Son of God, Son of Living God. Why Christmas? Because, friends, we need salvation. He's not come to condemn the world, but to save it, to condemn you, but to save you. Why Christmas? Because we need peace. Peace with God, peace of God, peace with others. We need to be reconciled to God. We need our relationships with others repaired. We need them reconciled. Even though today's December the 29th, Christmas is far from over. As believers in Jesus, we enjoy Jesus being born into the world every day of our lives. So friends, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas and Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for the why of Christmas. It's all about knowing Jesus. And even as we sang that song, How Great Is Our God, a little bit earlier, and I'm envisioning you bringing the gift of Jesus into a manger, how great you are, into the form of a baby. And we realize that you are a gift for us. And God, maybe there's some here this morning that say, I think I'm missing that purpose. Maybe you've gone to church your whole life, but you're saying it somewhere, I'm not finding the peace that he's talking about, and I'm not sure I have peace with God, and I'm not sure I have purpose, and I'm not sure I've ever received Jesus. Friends, today's a day. This is the day to receive the real gift of it all. And if you just envision in your mind a package that's wrapped beautifully, it's placed under the tree, got a beautiful ribbon and bow, and it's got your name right in the center under the tree, and it's now being slid out in front of you. It's right in front of you. There's one way to receive it. You have to accept it. You have to pick it up. You have to open it and receive the gift that's inside, which is your salvation. It's your peace. It's your reconciliation. It's your place with Jesus. It's a relationship with God forever. It's right there in that package, and you have to receive it. If you've not ever received it, you've got to receive it for yourself. And if that's your heart, if you're here today, you've not done that, and that's your heart, the heart of all the rest of us in this room to receive that package right now, we're all in it for you. We're all right now saying, take the gift. Take the gift. There's nothing greater. Receive Jesus, because it's going to change you forever. And you'll never have a Christmas the same again. And if that's you, friend, take the gift right now. And you can receive it just saying something similar. You don't have to be my words, but something simply is, here I am, God. I'm finally surrendering it all. And I'm receiving you. Forgive me of all my sins. Take all my failures, all the places I've blown it. I'm a mess by myself. Forgive me. Wash me clean. And Jesus, you be the gift. You come into my life through your Holy Spirit. Lead me from this day forward into your purpose for me and your plan. Something like that, friends. You invite Jesus in. And when you do that, all the celebrations we've had this Christmas won't compare to the one that's going on in heaven right now for any one person who's asked Jesus into their heart. And for that, friends, let's close this prayer with a celebration. Let's applaud what God is doing with salvation around the world. Thank you, Jesus. Friends, the first Oh Holy Night was the night that Jesus was born. And now it's an Oh Holy Night or an Oh Holy Morning or an Oh Holy Afternoon every time that someone who's lost from God falls on their knees and declares that he's Lord. And they receive that gift for themselves. I have one final request for you before we take off today. If you received that gift, you feel like for the first time today, we would love to celebrate with you like we celebrated today. And if you would just take a moment before you leave and just put your name on a card, and I think there's a place you can check a box or something on the back of that and maybe contact information. I want to be standing right at the Welcome Center. You don't have to say a word to me if you don't want to. Just slide that card across the table to me so I can have that so we can celebrate with you and encourage you. So I invite you to do that as well. I want to say a Merry Christmas. And since I won't see you until next year, probably Happy New Year. And we'll see you in 2020.